We're in 1 Samuel chapter 28, and we're going to read the whole chapter together. And it's another one of these occasions when the chapter is quite long, but it's a story, it's a narrative that flows, I think, really without too much need for explanation. So that gives us a little bit more time to read the passage together, think about what it's saying as it's being read, and also to make a few applications from it without feeling too rushed. So let us read together 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said unto Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, Therefore I will make thee keeper of mine head for ever. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together, and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself, and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life, to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done as, and the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and given it to thy neighbour, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me, and the Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth, and was sore afraid, because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day, nor all the night. And the woman came unto Saul, and saw that he was sore troubled, and said unto him, Behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in my hand, and have hearkened unto thy words, which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused, and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth, and sat upon the bed. And the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted, and killed it, and took flour, and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. And she brought it before Saul, and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up, and went away that night. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. This chapter begins with a great dilemma for David. We left him before, on a previous occasion, living amongst the Philistines, pretending to be loyal to them, but deceiving them by conducting raids on neighbouring nations and letting it be thought that he was attacking Israel. In that way, he endeared himself to this king, Achish, this king of Gath. Now, however, there was to be a full-scale battle between Israel and the Philistines. And that would be all the lords of the Philistines and all the different cities. It does appear that this was going to be a major battle between the Philistines and the children of Israel. And David, living amongst the Philistines as he was, with a group of armed men, was expected to help out on the Philistine side. Now, I don't know why at this particular time the battle was going to be fought. Perhaps it was because of the death of Samuel. Perhaps it was because Saul had got increasingly mad. And instead of being about the business of defending the kingdom, had been running around the countryside trying to capture David. Or perhaps it was a widespread godlessness amongst the people of Israel, And the Philistines believed that this was a good opportunity to confront Israel in battle and perhaps defeat them. You know, enemies take advantage of weakness and instability. And this is what was happening here as far as Israel was concerned. Achish, in fact, may have been in charge of this combined force of the Philistine kingdom. And he calls David and his men to fight on the side of the Philistines against their fellow countrymen. And David didn't know what to do. More of this another day, because we're going to come back to this in the next chapter. But the lesson is surely this, that David thought that he was being clever. But in fact, he was now trapped in a compromised situation. We spent some time last week thinking about how unwise David had been to go down to the Philistines in the first place and make his home amongst them. Now, well, he was caught between the devil and the deep blue sea, or a rock in a hard place, as the Americans might say. He was in a compromised situation. And this is what happens when we spend time in the wrong place with the wrong people. We think that we can be clever. We think that we can be fast on our feet, appear as though we are one of the gang, one of the crowd. But sooner or later, we will be expected to do something we know is wrong, and we don't know how to escape. Well, like all good dramas, we're going to have to wait until the next time to discover what happens with David. But let us be aware that we might learn from the lesson of the trouble that he now finds himself in. The rest of the chapter presents to us three main characters. Saul, who is in a terrible state of fear, a woman with a familiar spirit, nowadays we would call her a witch or a spiritualist, who pretended that she could communicate with the dead, and this apparition, and I'm going to say here, feigning or pretending to be the ghost of Samuel. And we'll come on to that a little bit later. So having read the story, I don't intend to repeat it, but we shall, I hope, be able to make some suitable applications from this rather dark account that we find in the remaining verses of this chapter. And the first person I want to look at here is Saul. So we'll look at Saul, we'll look at this witch. She's called the witch of Endor, although she's not actually called a witch in the passage, but that's usually the name that she's known by. And then a few references to this apparition that arose before Saul. But first, to think about Saul. Look at the terrible state that Saul was in. Look at the terrible place that he had descended to in his life. In fact, we're coming very close to the end of Saul's reign and to the end of his life. But what a sad and miserable man he had become. We remember how the young Saul had been anointed king by Samuel. He had been blessed with victories, and he had prospered under the direction of the Lord. And yet he never truly trusted the Lord. He was not a man that was a true follower of the Lord, and he never had a renewed heart. He was plagued by an evil spirit, and he proved to be self-serving. He proved to be envious, murderous, and a hypocrite. He made a pretense of serving God by outward acts that would be expected in his country, in his nation, because of the history and the legacy, because of the testimony of Samuel and the prophets that had gone before. He made a pretense of serving God by these outward acts, but inwardly he was fighting against the Lord. Inwardly he was fighting against the Lord's people, David, the Lord's anointed. Saul's life was a downward spiral. And in his final days, he found himself abandoned by God, bereft of Samuel's wise counsel because the old prophet was now dead, and without any faithful priests because he had killed them at the city of Nob. And no word from the Lord when he now faced this great army of the Philistines. And he trembled in his own soul. In this barren state, in this barren condition, Saul, what did he do? He turned to spiritism and he turned to superstition. He had rejected God and the Lord rejected him. And sin brought this once brave, bold and confident man to creep through the streets in disguise on the eve of a battle in the dark, looking for a forbidden witch to give him some hope. But outside of Christ, there is no hope. Without the Lord, where can a boy or a girl or a man or a woman turn? Saul was king. He was rich. He was famous. Anyone would say that he had the very best life could give. But he was without Christ in his soul. And his heart was eaten up with guilt and fear and dread. Despite having Samuel as a mentor and David as a friend, Saul was lost. And let me say this, especially to you who are young. Stay close to the Lord. He has said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." There comes a time in the lives of men and women when they shall never hear the gospel again. And they are lost, as Saul was lost. You who are young, take the opportunity the Lord gives when he says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." The next person I want to draw your attention to is this woman with a familiar spirit. She pretended to speak to the spirits of dead people on behalf of people willing to pay. And that is still a fraud that is practiced even today. Now, that's not to say that the devil and his angels are not able to exploit and manipulate impressionable people who want to believe in such nonsense. But again, there's a lesson here for us. We too must beware, because there is in this world, there is in our towns, in our cities, in our communities, maybe even amongst our friends, people who harbour these kind of thoughts and practice these kind of activities. And we will open ourselves to dangers that we know little about if we mess with the occultish things and the things that are of the power of darkness in this world. Whether we do it seriously or whether just for fun. So again, I say to you all, and I say especially to the young people, don't do seances. Don't do Ouija boards. Don't mess with fortune telling. Don't imagine that witchcraft is just the exciting entertainment of the movies or the books. It carries the risk of opening doors to darker forces that Christians should be careful to avoid. The Lord's people have been delivered from the power of darkness. and we are unwise to have anything to do with it. If you play with fire, you'll get burned. If you juggle with sharp knives, you'll get cut. And if you mess around with witchcraft and spiritism, you risk being caught up in activities inconsistent with the Christian faith. Here's another thing that we learn from this chapter. The spirit that was called up from the ground by this woman caused her to cry out. And I wonder why she did that. I wonder if she realized in that moment that she was engaging with a more powerful entity, energy, than she could control. No doubt she had done this many times before. She had a reputation. Saul's servants knew who she was and where they could find her. But she cried out on this occasion. I am sure that this was not the spirit of Samuel, but an evil spirit impersonating the prophet in order to aggravate Saul's condition and drive him deeper into despair. This spirit came up from the ground, not down from heaven. This spirit asked, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" Well, that just doesn't make sense as far as one of the Lord's people is concerned, which Samuel certainly was. Nothing can disquiet a soul in heaven. Nothing can compel that soul to return to earth. Samuel was indeed dead. His body was in Ramah, and his soul rested in the Lord's presence. No witch or wizard could summon him, and not even a king could demand his presence. He was in the company of King Jesus, the King of Kings, and this apparition was a lying spirit. It spoke for Samuel, but was not Samuel. It pretended to use Samuel's voice, perhaps, but it was not the prophet. Someone might say, well, didn't it say what would happen? I have to accept that. It was accurate in some predictions. It was accurate in recounting some facts. But then that's the way that lies work. They use a little bit of truth in order to convey a deeper and more insidious lie. This truth that the Spirit spoke was no better than deduction and guesswork. And it was wrong in other ways, which the Lord never is. Saul got no help and he received no hope from this impostor. Had Samuel really come to Saul that night, Samuel would have implored him to repent of his sins and ask God for forgiveness. We have a saying, it goes something like this: where there is life, there is hope. But this evil spirit gave Saul no hope. He wasn't yet dead. He soon would be, but he wasn't yet dead. And he went to his grave without any hope. Samuel would not have let that happen. And whether we are young or whether we are listening today and we are older, we have the opportunity right now of asking the Lord to forgive our sins and to cleanse our conscience. What did Saul not have here? He had no one pointing him to Christ. He had servants who could find him a witch. He had a woman who conjured up a lie a false spirit who merely cemented Saul in despair and confirmed his condemnation. But that isn't you. This is still the day of grace, because the Lord Jesus Christ is still being set forth. The Lord is still showing us Jesus Christ crucified. And he is showing it to you and to me today in the gospel. Christ is set before you as the only way of spiritual life, the only eternal rest, because he has died to take away sin. You are not hopeless, and you need not despair. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter how grievous you feel you have sinned against the Lord, you are not in a hopeless condition, because this is still the gospel day and Jesus Christ is still being set before you. You need not despair. The Lord Jesus Christ says, suffer, that is, allow little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. O Lord, make us all like little children, that we might come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness of our sins and cleansing in his blood, that he might give us that hope that we require. The Lord says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. May the Lord give us the grace that Saul never found, and may he bless us today with an open door whereby we may enter in to the experience of his love and his mercy and a knowledge of sins forgiven. Amen.